Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very accomplished professional from Brisbane, Australia, Joanna Boyd. Joanna, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. Joanna is a buyer's agent and she's the director. So Joanna, before we talk about buyer's agent, tell me a little bit about your own journey and what is a buyer's agent?
Sure. So my journey's been a little bit unique. I've been navigating the real estate sector in Queensland for the last 25 years, mm-hmm. held various roles, absolutely adore property. There's so many facets to property in general. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, 6 years ago, I became a widow. My husband died very suddenly, leaving me with three children. And I was working in the corporate world in real estate. And I decided then at that point that something needed to change. Loved what I was doing, but I really wanted to follow my heart and my passion and get out of that corporate rat race. Mm-hmm. And actually do something that was important to me, and the fact that I could have that flexibility, or so I thought, for my children. So I always wanted to be a buyer's agent, and I just followed my heart and thought, no, new start, new life. And I guess my values are a lot different now pre my husband's death. So it's really put me, I guess, in good stead to deal with people on a day-to-day basis, because I have a lot of life experience at a young age, still relatively young. Essentially, a buyer's agent is very prominent, I guess, in UK and America. It's very much emerging still here in Australia, particularly in the New South Wales and Victoria states in Australia, it's prevalent. But essentially, we represent a buyer through a property transaction. So typically, a real estate agent represents a seller, we represent the buyer. So we have a really unbiased approach. Essentially, we are navigating and working with our clients to make sure that we're sourcing, negotiating, you know, securing properties, mm-hmm. but also mm-hmm. making sure that they're matching up to their purpose and their why. And, you know, we really very much become that emotional filter as well, mm-hmm. and really make sure that what the objective is that we set out to achieve, we are actually meeting that. So, yeah. Essentially represent the buyer.
Wonderful. And what are some of the key factors that you would consider when looking or selecting a property for a buyer?
So we look at a lot of different things. Essentially, we want to make sure that we're meeting their buyer brief. So we get to know our client really detailed. We ask mm-hmm. a lot of open-ended questions, who, what, when, where, why. And we really get them to create a big picture for us. Mm-hmm. So from there, we then start to identify the way in which they live in a house, you know, mm-hmm. what's important. So often it's not always about budgets. It's about demographics, amenities that are around them, how long they're going to hold that property for. So we're looking at a whole array of different factors. Mm-hmm. And obviously each client's requirements are different. So it's very important that you get that relationship from the get-go and make sure that you're really nurturing and delivering on what those individuals are wanting to achieve.
Very interesting. And based on your experience as a buyer's agent, Joanna, what are some of the common mistakes a lot of buyers tend to make when purchasing property?
Paying too much. Mm-hmm. So totally overpaying, but equally not understanding the market conditions. So we've got, at the moment, a lack of stock. So we're finding that buyers are driving the prices and tend to be overpaying for things. also not doing enough due diligence. So due diligence is looking for all those red flags when we're buying a property. So, you know, making sure that the structural integrity is okay, that there's no flooding or, you know, no natural disasters that are going to impact the property. The other thing is not getting their ducks in a row. So, you know, when we go and buy property, we need to make sure that our buyers have finance, you know, that they have access to their money, that they have, you know, like conveyancers, like solicitors, so all the legal bodies that they need to help them hold that deal and get it across the line. So we're looking at a whole different things, and we really nurture and help them identify what happens next.
And I'm assuming you handle both commercial and residential.
No, actually, I purely do residential. I think you've got to stay in your lane, because there's so many different laws and regulations for different, you know, different types of property. So, you know, we very much work with a lot of other organisations, depending on what our clients are looking for. But yeah, I tend to just work in the residential space.
Okay. So when someone is looking for a residential property, how do you help them determine if the property is likely to be a good investment?
Yeah. So what we do, we're very, very transparent. So we do a lot of data and analytics. So the first step is to identify a property, and then we flush out, we use like different marketing platforms and project marketing tools to really flush out those properties. And we're looking at anticipated valuation on the property, comparable sales, and there's a whole bunch of factors that we look to make sure that it stacks up on paper and that, you know, we're not buying a dud. And then if we feel like it is going to, you know, work out for the buyer, coupled with their buyer brief, then we would then physically inspect the property. We go and inspect every single property to make sure that it's okay. You know, obviously when you walk through a property, and it's very different to seeing pictures online. So it's really important for us, and it's a massive value add that we can go and tell them about the cars that are parked on the side of the road, or, you know, how the neighborhood is, how the house smells and feels. So yeah, there's a lot of factors that we do as a value add, you know, for our clients.
So, you know, someone told me that when you decide to buy a residential property, always visit the property once in the day and once at night.
Correct.
Because they said at night you get to know the community that you're getting into.
Yep. Exactly. And also peak hour, you know, before school, after school, after a weather event, like looking to see, you know, in Brisbane, we have massive downpour of rain. So it's really important to, you know, do a drive-by and look at where that water's flowing. So yeah, absolutely right there, Ash. You need to look at it multiple times. And the other thing too is we tend to find that people have the first look is emotional. The second look is practical. So, you know, the first look is like, oh my gosh, it's amazing, it's beautiful. But then the second look is like, no, actually, is this going to work or not?
Very well
said. So it's that compromise.
Well said. And how do you ensure that your clients' interests are protected throughout the buying process?
Yeah. So we work exclusively. We tend to just run 8 to 10 buyers at any one time. We make sure that no other buyer has got the same client brief. So we really make sure that we provide a priority service, I guess, to our clients. So for me, it's not so much about volume. It's about that client journey, and, you know, really making sure that we're educating and hand-holding through every phase of the way. And they've ultimately got control over their whole purchase, but it's us being able to, you know, point them in the right direction and navigate them. So it's really important that we never bring on conflicting buyer briefs. And yeah, we just ethically, I'm very passionate about that.
And how would you support first-time home buyers navigating this whole complex process of buying a property?
Yeah, I love first-time buyers. They're like sponges. They absorb so much information, and they want education as well. So we really sit back, explain exactly what we're doing, what happens next. We've got flowcharts that show every phase. So we very much talk about budgets. Again, with my life skills, I don't want people to be a slave to their mortgage. So if we can buy a property under budget, then that's what I really try to do for first home buyers. Again, education and reassurance and pointing them in the right direction of what happens next and what they need to do. But equally, it's like what I said at the beginning, getting your ducks in a row, getting your finance approved, understanding your lending capacity, what your mortgage payments are, that sort of thing. Because obviously we've had a lot of interest rate rises up and down. So, you know, we need to make sure that they understand how their purchase will impact their mortgage payments.
And what would you say are some of the more interesting negotiation strategies you employ to secure the best deal?
Yeah, so it's not always about price. It's we really try to drill down and understand the seller's motivation. So obviously we have a budget that we work with, but equally, why is the seller moving? When do they need to move? You know, so do we do a short-term or a long-term settlement? In Brisbane, typically it's a 30-day settlement, but say if the seller hasn't bought anything, and they've sold before they buy, we might need to offer a 90-day settlement. So that could be a good motivator for them. Equally, we try to sometimes do what you call a contemporaneous settlement. So you're settling, the buyer and the seller are settling on the same day. So it's very much about having that open dialogue with the real estate agent who's representing the seller to then go, okay, well, our buyer can accommodate you this way. And that's how we get the deals across the line. So, and again, it's leveraging off things. If we have to do a building and pest inspection and it comes up with some flaws in the property, then we can go back to the agent and go, there's XYZ issues. We would like a price reduction of whatever. And we would help our buyers do that. So again, it's always putting your buyer's best interests at heart.
Wonderful. My next question is that how has technology impacted your work? Because now everything is available online. You can have three-dimensional walkthroughs, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
How do you leverage technology?
I think technology is great in the first instance. Sometimes it can be negative for us because our buyers will go, oh, but, you know, on this real estate portal, it said it sold for this or what have you. They're not actually seeing what's happening on the ground. So what we try to do is, yes, that's great to use those platforms for evidence and data and analytics. But again, by us using physically being on the ground, physically going into the properties, hearing, seeing, smelling things, I don't think customer service, but customer service is still paramount compared to all the technology. So, yeah, I think it's just finding that happy medium. Some people are very data driven and love all of that. So, again, it comes back to your client brief and understanding, is your buyer a kinetic learner? Are they a listener? You know, how do they want that information? So we tend to customize it depending on how they like that information. So there's benefits to both, but we use multiple different platforms. We're always trying different things and integrating it into the business. Some stick, some don't. So it just depends, but it's a massive evolving piece.
Well said. And now my next question is a little bit of an overview of what do you see as some of the emerging trends in the Australian property market? And I know this is a very general comment because I'm sure Brisbane is different from Sydney. But what do you see as the potential trends and what should potential buyers be aware of?
Sure. I think the biggest thing, and I think you said it perfectly, there's so many different markets within Australia, not just state or territory based, but even in Queensland, you've got your regional, your metropolitan areas, all the markets are different. So I think people sometimes customize them all into one little box.
Right.
So it's very much about knowing your market. Since COVID, we all live differently now as well. So we're finding that people are having more work from home opportunities. So the way in which people are living in a house is quite different. So we need to be mindful about home offices. Just the whole configuration of a property is different. So there's those sort of factors. We're finding that property that's already been renovated, they tend to go higher in price because we do have a bit of a building shortage with trades and supplies and demand. So we're finding that, people that are buying property to renovate, there's often budget blowouts and things like that as well. So it's really, there's so many different factors in the market. But again, it comes back to what is your purpose? What are you actually wanting to achieve? Is it a short-term or a long-term hold? Is it an investment? Is it an owner-occupier or whatever it is? So I think you need to make sure that you're doing your research depending on what that need is that you're trying to fulfill.
Very interesting. And, there are also a lot of people who tend to look at investments in different markets. So what would your advice be for a potential property investment investor only?
Yeah.
Not someone who wants to actually live there.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing with investors is understand your investment strategy, because your strategy is going to be different to somebody else's, right? So some people want to negatively gear or positively gear, have a certain rental yield that they're trying to achieve. So we're not financial advisors, but we work with them a lot and with our buyers, and we would get instructions from the financial advisor to say, this is what we're wanting to achieve. Sorry, just get rid of that. This is what we're wanting to achieve, and then we would deliver on that outcome. So again, it's understanding your financial strategy is really, really pertinent, and it's going to differ for everybody.
Well said. So Joanna, I have time for two more questions. My next question is, how do you keep up to date with what is happening in the market? What are the trends? What are regulatory issues? And what are some of the property hotspots in the areas that you work in?
So in regards to knowledge and so forth, I'm very active in the Queensland market. We do a lot of industry forums. We're always online looking at things. We're reading data and analytics. So we try to sponge off as much as we can and then give that back to our clients. So there's so many different ways that we can look at it, but I think it's always hands-on is always good. Physically going to road shows and seminars and understanding. In regards to hotspots, there's so many different pockets as to what, where we could go. Regional areas are doing really well. In Brisbane, because of the Olympic Games, things are just skyrocketing, and we're seeing a lot of investors coming over and buying things fairly local to the Brisbane CBD, sort of 20k radius and surroundings. But again, those are going for still premium prices. So it's really interesting because we do get a lot of investors go, we've got $700,000. We want to be close to the city. And it's like, you've got no hope getting in at $700,000. Okay. You're going to have to go out further. But if we have corridors, the north and so Sunshine Coast up, the Gold Coast down, so anything along those corridors is actually really good buying as well, because it's really good access to the larger cities as well. So I just know Queensland, but there's other people that do other things in other states.
I'm sure. And my last question to you, Joanna, and this is to you as a person. You started off as an entrepreneur a few years ago. What would you say are three lessons you would want a lot of our viewers and listeners to take away from your own learnings?
I'm learning now because I'm 4 years into my business. Getting the right people in your corner early. Mm-hmm. You need to get your cheerleaders and your supporters, because I think that's really important, that people see your vision and your passion and help you, support you on that journey. I think also stay in your lane. Like, I know that I often go along and you're looking at your competitors and go, oh, but they're doing that. Oh, should I be doing that? You know, so stay in your lane and stop looking at the shiny things. Like, stay focused on what you're wanting to achieve. And I think the biggest thing is be true to yourself. I'm very authentic. You get what you see with me. I'm very, I just genuinely want to help people. And so for me, authenticity is paramount. And it's really important that you have that open, communicative dialogue in all that you do, whether it's clients, your colleagues, referral partners, or whatever it may be, but just be true to yourself and really know your why and your purpose. And I think that that's just puts you in good stead.
Fascinating. And on that note, Joanna, and your three wonderful lessons, right people are most important, stay in your lane, stay focused. And the third one you said was be true to yourself. Thank you so much for speaking to me about your journey. I've learned what a buyer's agent is, and thank you for sharing with me so many different aspects of the role of a buyer's agent. Thank you also for talking to me about so many different aspects of residential property in Brisbane. Thank you again.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.